When you love riding a motorcycle, you want to ride it everywhere, even to a physical.
Let's check your weight. Hop on the scale. Look at that. You're down a few pounds.
Oh, yeah. Must be the new carbon fiber wheels.
And when you love saving money, you want to save even more. That's why GEICO makes it easy to bundle your motorcycle and car insurance.
I'm going to prescribe 91 octane for your engine knock, and we'll want to see you again in 3,000 miles.
Kickstart your savings with GEICO Motorcycle. Bundle and save on the things you love.
Bob and Tom Comedy Bits, check. Willie Griswold, check. Jess Hooker, check. Jessica Alsman, check. It's the Bits and Pieces Podcast.
Thank you, Mr. McGee. Welcome to Bits and Pieces, the podcast that revisits our favorite Bob and Tom Show comedy bits. I'm Willie Griswold, joined as always by Jason, Jess, Jessica, and today we're talking fishing. Did y'all grow up going fishing at all?
Not at all.
Really?
No.
My birthday, my dad would usually take me fishing.
Yeah.
Like that, near my birthday. I don't even remember where, some crazy little pond somewhere. But that's it, pretty much.
Did he take you fishing because he liked to fish, or did you like to fish?
I think he was okay with it, but it wasn't like a big thing. Yeah. I just felt like it was sort of that rite of passage as a 80s kid.
Right, right. Thing. Yeah, we fished a lot. We did. We had a summer house on the lake, and so all of us would just, you know, stand there in swimsuits, and we'd have cousins in the lake, and we'd just try to catch them, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah.
Did y'all have, we had, if you mess around with your fishing line, it's going to go in your sister's ear. Nope. Yeah. And then, like, because apparently my mom did that to my aunt, and, like, they always, you don't want to get your ear caught off. Yeah.
Yeah, we had cousins who, she got her, like, hooked her right here in the back of the head one time. Yeah.
Eeks.
Yeah. I remember my mom catching a bat. Because we were fishing at night and threw it up in the air, and the bat comes swooping in, caught a bat.
Yep.
That was freaking weird.
What?
Isn't a catfish, it's a bat.
Yeah, I just thought it was a bug flying.
I'm terrified of bats, and I thought they only lived in Transylvania or whatever. I guess there are bats. No, I know. I thought bats were like unicorns. Like, I didn't know they were real animals.
Yeah.
I guess they're flying around all over the place.
Yeah, we have a bat house. We have a bat. Mm-hmm. We didn't put the bat. I call it a bat house. You can buy a bat house and put it in your trees, but we have a bat. We have a bat nest, but I just say bat house, and it's in the back. And I'm telling you, it controls the bugs in my backyard.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But why? I don't get it. Why aren't they called a bat
cave?
Yeah,
I don't
it's
know.
Right there.
I don't
it's
know.
Right there.
Well, a cave isn't above ground in a tree.
Oh,
yeah, that's true.
It's usually dug into the ground.
Because I was visiting my sister in Austin, and there's this big bridge, and there are all these bats underneath it. And I go, Lucy, that is so scary. Why would you live near a place that has bats? And she goes, there are bats everywhere you live. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, there are bats everywhere. Bats.
We pay quite a few times to get the bats removed from the church steeple where our bell is because there was too much bat doo-doo.
Oh, yeah.
Or what is it? Guano.
Is it guano?
I think it is.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of Ace Ventura.
Dung.
Yes. Bat dung in the bell.
We had a bat fishing situation. So it was a night swim. We're at the end of the dock. Some of us are fishing.
It sounds like an official. Tonight, right now at 10:30 is a night swim.
Yeah. But it wasn't that. It was just like, you know, parents were partying. They're like, get out of here.
I love swimming at night. Yeah, love it.
So we're in the lake. Some of us are in the lake. And let me paint a little picture for you. All of us have names that start with J, just so you know what we're working with here, except for the three sisters whose names started with B. That's another story. But so we have, some of us are fishing, some of us are swimming, and some of us are shooting BB guns off of the dock.
Oh, good Lord.
And my brother shot it off and shot it straight up, and all we just can barely see because of the moonlight is like this thing, and it's just swirling down, and it's coming, finally smacks. Somebody goes out there. It's a bat. You got a bat.
He literally shot a bat.
He shot a bat in the dark. And us weirdo kids swam out and got
to
the
get
bat.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah. Look at
you.
You're so happy.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's bleeding all over you.
Oh, yes. I was just weird. So weird.
Yeah.
So then you put it on a hook and try to use it as bait?
I don't know who. It's hard to tell what we did with the bat after that. I probably shouldn't.
Well,
PETA might be listening.
If we're starting with bait, I think I know where this is going. This is an absolute silly classic from Haywood Banks.
Okay, here we go. Fish and worms, everybody's wishing they had fish and worms. Find them in the garden, turn over a rock, slip them in your sandwich, put them in your sock. That's fish and worms, fish and worms. Well, my big sister, she don't like my fish and worms. Big ones, little ones, they scare her to death. She was making chocolate shake, I dropped a couple in the blender. Now she's sitting around with bated breath from eating fish and worms. Fish and worms, everybody's wishing they had fish and worms. Do your English homework, underline a word, circle direct object and transitive verb with a fish and worm. Fish and worm. Wrap them around a corkscrew, twist them in some twine, take them to the health spa so they can unwind. That's fish and worm. Fish and worm. Fish and worm. Well, I like doing everything you can think about the fish and worm. Cushy, cushy ones. They're ones that wiggle and squish. There's only one thing I don't like doing with fish and worms, and that is, of course, to catch fish. I hate them fish and worms. Fish and worms. Everybody's wishing they had fish and worms. Find them in the backyard underneath some leaves. Make them little dresses. Just leap off the sleeves. That's fish and worms. Fish and worms. Fish and worms. Fish and worms. Fish and worms.
Make them little dresses. Just leave off the sleeves. The genius of Haywood Banks.
I think it's awesome to hear something that you know that no one ever thought of before.
No.
And that's Haywood right there, right? I mean, no one ever thought that.
It's weird. It's hilarious. It's not dirty. It's absurd. It's I can't say enough about that. That might be my favorite Bob and Tom show thing played on the Bob and Tom show.
Oh,
of all
yeah.
time. I don't know. I love that so much.
Yeah, yeah. That's I remember hearing it and just being like, this is amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is amazing. I can't even, like, my little kid brain couldn't even put into words, like, how creative and wonderful it was. You know what I mean? But I was just like, I have a feeling. Like, yeah. this is so good.
Yeah. Everything Haywood does gets stuck in my head. Last week, I couldn't stop saying randomly, never trashed a puppet. I just don't know why. I don't know what I saw that even triggered it. And it's, yeah.
No, I'll
now
do
this
that.
Is going to be stuck in my head all week. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Right.
I'll do that. Drop and roll. Transitioning. And then we're just talking about doing your English homework, circles, erect object, and conjugative verb.
Transitive
so,
verb, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just so weird and silly. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's wonderful, like you said.
I mean, this. I think this song kind of was a point in time where the budding genius of Haywood literally yeah. was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. this kind of set the tone for everything that came much later.
It is, and I feel like recently I'm going through Bob and Tom pictures, mm-hmm. and I have mm-hmm. a picture oh, of my. Haywood at this moment, like about the right. time that this came out.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So we'll have to post that because it's. Did you see it? You may have been in my.
Yeah,
in
I saw it in your office yesterday. We'll share that tomorrow with this. Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
That is so.
Yeah.
Ah, what a wonderful, goofy, absurd, mm-hmm. weird, incredible song.
Alsman, you seem like someone who'd be kind of yucked out by worms.
When I was younger, I didn't really care as much. And yeah. now I don't. If I see worms, I know I have healthy dirt.
There you go. Oh, all right.
Yeah, because last year was the year of growing dirt at my house because there's nothing else to do.
You grew dirt.
I amended the soil, but I like to call myself Dr. Dirt because I went to dig in the dirt to plant some flowers and not one ant or bug could be found because it was just sand.
Oh, God. Oh. That's not good.
Doctor, so that's fun.
Just because it is my dad's birthday, and if he were here, I think it's very important. I say it like he's dead. If he were here, if my dad were here, it would be important to note that Dr. Dirt sounds like the name of a gay porno, and I feel like we should just say
you
Dr.
To,
Dirt.
You do. You have
Dr.
to. You have to
dress it.
Yeah. They call me Dr. Dirt. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got it. I mean, you're right there. It's gosh, I'm so glad we could do that. I'm going to call him after this. Say, hey, you know,
you're never going to believe what we did on the podcast.
And you know what? It's good to have that relationship with your father.
Right.
The Dr. Dirt button relationship.
So do you recall Tom ever fishing?
So fishing was something that I did more on my mom's side. My great grandpa was a farmer and he loved fishing and he had this fishing boat that I remember being on a lot as a kid.
Oh, cool.
And him having his cigar on there.
Yeah.
But my dad was definitely like around, but he was more, I think watching over the fish. Sure, he was the guy, because we were all the little maniacs with the hooks that we were throwing all over the place. He was making sure I didn't give my sister a, what's that called, a cartilage piercing by accident.
That's true.
Mr. Safety. Just a bunch of little maniacs. Somebody had to be Mr. Safety. It was very important. Let's get to our next bit. And this is actually, it's a movie. A movie for a radio show. What do you think about that? It's a movie that's all about fish.
Coming from Bob and Tom Productions, the controversial movie based on the best-selling novel, it is written that he fed 5,000 people with just two fish. Did he really? Or as author Dan Brown claims, did he simply pull the old misdirection switcheroo?
And also, the meek shall inherit the earth. That's good. Oh, hey, everybody. Look way over there.
What? Where? I don't see anything.
Oh, never mind. Thought I saw something. Well, let's eat. Dinner's on me.
What the heck? Look what he did. This was just a basket with a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish, and now there's enough seafood here to feed 5,000 people.
Ta-da! Thank you.
If it was such a miracle, then why did Leonardo da Vinci paint one of the disciples in The Last Supper to look exactly like David Copperfield? And also, why is the fish on the plate in the picture laughing? Was turning two fish into a feast for the multitudes a miracle? Or just a silly parlor trick? You be the judge. Don't miss The Da Vinci Cod. It's two fish and a cast of thousands. Coming to theaters everywhere. The Da Vinci Cod. With the most star-studded roster of actors ever assembled. You'll see Catfish Hunter, Eddie Fisher, Terry Hatchery, Jim Belsushi, Rob Blowfish, Chad Pitt, Larry Kingfish, Martin Mullet, Muscle Crowe, Jason Bateman, Al Sharpton.
All right.
Shell Lee Winters, Leonardo DiCaprio, Drew Barracuda, Stingray Romano, Bernie Mackerel, Jessica Albacore, Piranha Nicole Smith, and Kevin Pollak. Plus, you'll want to pick up the soundtrack featuring the music of Eel Diamond, Barry Whitefish, Smelton John, Squad Stewart, Squid Vicious, Herring Connick Jr., Pike and Tuna Turner, Thelonious Monkfish, Sean Pufferfish Combs, Manta Ray Charles, Ringo Starfish, and Vince Gill. Take your date out to dinner, then catch The Da Vinci Cod. But please wait at least 30 minutes after eating before entering the theater. The Da Vinci Cod will be shown only on Fridays until Lent, when it will run daily. Rated PG 316.
Oh my goodness. So I think we can all agree, way too many puns. Oh no, Jesse, have your face, your hands are in your face. Are you okay?
It was so much. Yeah. It was so much.
Yeah. Just as soon as you thought they were done, they just threw out a whole bunch more.
I was looking at the time here, and when they started, when the announcer there really started to start all the names, it only took 15 seconds before Bob's "All right."
All right.
And it went on another 50 seconds.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
Yeah. But they're all good. I thought that was fantastic.
You know who I blame?
It.
You know who I blame for this?
Who?
I'm gonna go Marty Bender on
okay.
this one.
Okay. Yeah, I bet Marty was around.
I think so.
I know, but
so.
I feel like it has a lot of Tom in there too, though.
Yeah. You know?
I feel like this was in the era, and I don't recall being there if this was part of a writer's lunch. Because this seemed like a collective
That many puns, it's got to be writer's room, unless it's just one person losing their mind doing fish puns. Because like earlier this week, Josh did the thing on Friday of last week where it was basically you're taking celebrities and adding weed to it. There was a premise. Urkel has weed.
Yep.
And so now we're saying, what other celebrities have weed? And then it was really fun when Josh did it. And then my dad got to it and it was just pun. And so the point that I'm trying to make with all of this is sometimes when the pun happens, you need Bob or someone with the sentiment of Bob to go, all right. That's too many.
Yeah.
They hit them all.
Yeah.
I mean, they hit them all.
Did you ever go to writer's lunches?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There was an era, I would say, probably 03 up until, I don't know, 2010-ish, probably. Yeah. There was a good... there was times we would have three lunches a week.
Oh yeah,
at the
no,
Loon
I
Lake
remember.
Lodge.
Yeah, I remember because that means we couldn't go to lunch.
Yep. Correct.
And I was butt hurt that I was not invited
And there's some things that get a little bit exaggerated, but some of the things that, like Tom, who said a gal looked like the NASCAR driver, yes, Jimmy Spencer's sister. I mean, that happened.
That happened.
I was right there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's stuff like that. I mean, just incredible things that happen at some of these launches.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just real quick, one joke that I want to point out that I thought was incredible,
sure,
is pun, and Kevin Pollak.
Yes. And
then when they doubled it up with Vince Gill.
It is perfect. Oh, yeah, we had two.
That is good.
It's a pun bit. They did everything perfectly. At the end, they say, catch it this summer. Oh, and by the way, Da Vinci Code, that was popular for like 2 years. That
was
massively.
Mm.
So yeah, we can figure out when this came out. Real fun bit, really weird bit.
I loved it.
You guys, I actually have, this is really cool because, you know, we're such a history-based podcast.
Well, absolutely.
Today we're talking about history. I don't know if you guys knew. Do you guys know Donnie Baker used to do boat tours?
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. I did not.
Hey, man, this is Donnie Baker, man. You guys know for a little while now, 2 years, I've been trying to sell my boat. And I ain't sold it yet. But I figured, why should I sit here on this boat that ain't sold when I could be giving tours and making big money? So welcome to Donnie Baker's Boat Tours. And this is probably one of the nicer pay lakes on this side of town. I met the owners in defensive driving school, Butch and Patty. They said I could bring my boat out here anytime I wanted as long as I don't leave no more cans, bottles, or rubbers on the bank. I've had a big problem with homeless rubbers. I guess the snapping turtles can choke on them, and who's going to help a choking snapping turtle, man? Patty said they've lost about a half dozen snappers due to choking on these floaters people leave out there, man. And man, when your snapping turtles start to be endangered, it screws up the whole ecosystem. Then the catfish take over. Butch and Patty said there's catfish the size of full-grown midgets in this lake. I swear to God there is, man. Watch this. Hey, Scotty, start chumming.
What do you want me to use, man?
Well, get in the cooler, man, and start tossing some of that stuff overboard. Now, use the old beef jerky, the stuff with the blind Indian on the package.
All right, man.
Use some of this Cheese Whiz. And pinch off a go-gurt. That works.
What about this, Donnie?
No, don't use the Funyuns. Them ain't for the catfish, Scotty. Them's for us when we start drinking. I swear to God, man, in about 40 minutes, we'll have the catfish following this boat like stray dogs tracking a trash truck. Now, right here's the deepest part of the lake. I remember going skinny dipping when I was just 14. Remember, Scotty? I started doing a backstroke and the cops showed up because people reported seeing the pork and ass monster surface. I swear to God they did, man. Ride that sail. I swear to God we'd go skinny dipping with the varsity cheerleaders after the football games. We'd be tweaking on Robitussin and Vapor Rub, and it wouldn't take long for them cheerleaders to soak their pom-poms with us. I swear to God that's true. You can look it up. Now, over there by the dock is where Randy passed out after 2 wine coolers. I swear to God he did, Scotty. Remember? It was my first company picnic with the dick. I won the 3-legged race by myself, too. I swear to God I did. Starboard, Scotty!
Okay.
Easy, man. That's a side that's got the fresh paint. So anyways, man, spend a day out here. They sell cold beer in the bait shop. And if Patty's on her Prozac, she'll bake cookies and split a bucket of chicken with you. She's down home that way. They're kind of like a second family to me. The only thing I don't like is that my pager don't work out on the water. So hell, I probably lost a few sales from people who want to buy my boat. But man, to escape out here for 2 or 3 hours is probably worth it. Hey, Scotty, look.
Where, Donnie?
Over by the stump. It's a snapping turtle chewing on a rubber. And he's blowing a bubble. I swear to God he is, man. Let's get back to the bait shop and get a camera. I gotta go.
Donnie Baker, the boat tours. When he said the pager on the water, having a pager on a boat, that took me back to a vacation with my dad up in like Harbor Springs, Northern Michigan area. And I think we were on Lake Walloon, and it was early cell phone days, not iPhone, flip phone days. And just him, like, one of my siblings, like, in the back, being towed, water skiing, wakeboarding, whatever. And my dad just on the cell phone, like, he's in the car. No, yeah, I'll be there soon. I'll be there as soon as I can. No, we're doing something right now, but I'll be there as soon as I can.
Oh, my goodness.
Real funny stuff. What a weird bit.
I like that he mentioned skinny dipping in this. And for one, I don't want to think of Donnie Baker skinny dipping, but have any of you skinny dipped?
Oh, yeah.
So I have a really, really funny story. I think I've said it in here before. It's me and my buddy Mark, and we're with one of our friends who's just this gorgeous person. She's like a model now.
Right.
Just one of our really, really great friends. And we're all, we're at my mom's house, and she used to live on this lake house, this kind of small lake in the back, and we're about to go swimming, and it's nighttime, and it's dark, and we're all a little drunk, having fun. And then this girl, who's just beautiful, just goes, hey, we should all go skinny dipping. And then out loud, my friend Mark just goes, play it cool, Mark. Funniest things that I've ever been a part of. And I kind of honor that in this room a lot. Whenever someone says anything, I go, all right, everybody relax. Everybody play it cool.
Yeah.
So funny. I don't know if I've gone skinny dipping unless I was... Oh, the first time I ever got drunk, I told a girl I loved her, and then she said she didn't like me, and then I jumped in the lake naked, you know, just to prove to everybody that I wasn't weird or anything.
Yeah, that helped. I bet that helped.
Did you guys ever go skinny dipping? Why did I just say two examples?
Save some for the ladies, will it?
I don't think I can't remember if I have or not. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, I have. I've been on a lot of houseboat trips, all adult houseboat trips in my early 20s. We were barely adults. Let me say that for starters. And I was naked a lot growing up, like not growing up, but like as a teenager, like I was always mooning people or just like would just like sit down and have my butt crack out just to get a reaction. Like I would sit.
You were a boy.
I was. If you guys, there are pictures that you would go, this might be a boy. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like in class, in a high school classroom, I would pull my sweatpants or my scrubs because that's what I wore nurse's scrubs to school because that's how much I cared about my appearance. And I would pull them down just enough to see it, just to get people's reactions as they walked into class. I was a horrible human being.
What a little weirdo.
Well, that's such funny, though, weirdo. Like you never know when Jess is going to do it. Like, oh, there's her ass.
We would drive through the Best Buy parking lot on East Washington Street, and I would just push my butt up against the window just so my friends could laugh at people's reactions as they saw my butt in the window.
I imagine when you were in high school, you got kicked out of a lot of Goodwills. You know, running around, putting on old clothes.
I thought you were going to say school. I was like, yeah, that too.
Schools, Goodwill, Red Lobster, whatever location you want to have. I bet you got kicked out. Really?
Just anywhere on the east side. Yeah, you could just say any place. We just would do things to just be awful. But I skinny dipped with a lover or two also, like in a.
Can I'm probably going to make Jesse laugh pretty good here because you were talking about the houseboat.
Oh, God.
And I thought of two words.
Yeah.
Big Montana. Sorry, folks.
It's okay.
We've shared stories through the year, and there's a houseboat story.
There's a houseboat story that is definitely a off the air story.
Off the air story?
Off the air story.
Okay, cool. We can circle back really quick. One thing that I noticed in that bit, if you're talking about fishing on the Bob and Tom Show, two guaranteed references, Cheese Whiz for bait and a pay lake.
Oh, yeah,
those
pay
are
lake.
Constantly used in Bob and Tom Show fishing bits.
Yes.
So I just noticed that.
And that's
that
a Donnie Baker thing for sure, is a pay lake, a which pay I'm thinking lake. That dude doesn't pay for anything.
No.
But yet he's always talking about the pay lake.
Yeah.
It's funny. I think something I mentioned to him got into this bit, and I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this, tweaking on some robo.
Yeah.
I always heard robo tripping.
Yeah. When I was in college, these guys said, hey, Offset, you want to go tweak on some robo? And I, you know, me.
Right.
18-year-old me, who's never touched a thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they, you know, they were doing cough syrup. And I thought, this is the most absurd. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, guys drank and got high. No, they're doing cough syrup. But it was called tweaking on some robo.
Yeah, I know we're having fun. It's like a very, very dangerous drug.
Very,
it's very,
very
addicting, and it ruins people's lives.
Yeah. I mean, is it part of it, and not to get too deep here, but do you have to have so much of it you get this certain euphoria?
But it's not like,
it's not like a drunk, it's not like a high, it's like a whole thing all by itself.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's very, very different.
It is a third option. And then most people don't combine it with Vicks VapoRub like Donnie's friend did. That sounds like a killer combo. Maybe we should do some rubbo tripping. I don't know how to say it.
Would that be, is that sipping on some scissorp?
Yep, also, that's
yeah, that is.
Yeah, you understand that reference. Good job.
Is that 504 Boys or 3-6 Mafia? 3-6 Mafia, yeah.
A lot of folks talk about sipping on syrup.
Syrup? Yeah. Say that again?
Just syrup.
Syrup.
In the way that Snoop Dogg will add a Z into a phrase. Sure. Yeah. Yep. Sipping on some syrup.
Okay.
This
I
is
got
so
you.
Fun. I like.
I'm also very white, so I might have said, sipping on some syrup. I can't even do it. I can't say it though.
It's great. I can show you three awesome songs that say sipping on some syrup. I'll do it during the break, but right now, we have to warn you guys, Maurice is about to sing again.
My darling, I, Maurice Chevalier-ness, would like to sing for you now. Darling, we were meant for each other, and soon we'll be hearing wedding bells. Then we'll honeymoon down by the stockyards.
What?
'Cause, darling, I want to kiss you where it smells.
Yes, he wants to kiss her where it smells.
We'll go for a drive in the country. I'll bring lotions, lubricants, and gels. We'll make love on the ground near the landfill.
Landfill?
'Cause, darling, I want to kiss you where it smells. Be your knight in shining armor. Like a genie, I'll grant your every wish. Tonight, we'll go down by the ocean, and I'll kiss you where it smells like fish. Holy mackerel. We'll vacation in London and Paris.
Oui, oui.
And stay in the finest hotels. We'll spend all our time in the bathroom.
Hey, you.
'Cause, darling, I want to kiss you where it smells. Darling, I want to kiss you. When I smell fish, I miss you. Darling, I want to kiss you.
Where it smells.
We'll go to Egypt, and I'll kiss you. Where it's Sphinx.
Where it's Sphinx. Oh, gosh. When I smell fish, I miss you. Have you heard anything more romantic than that?
Oh,
yes,
my.
You have. You've heard a lot of things more romantic than that. Real gross. How are you doing, Jess? You look very mad. I think you're mad at me.
It's just, again, it's a lot. It's a lot.
I even questioned if this ever even was on the air.
Oh, really?
Like, we did it for an album. And sometimes stuff gets overlooked, and I don't know if Tom would have ever had a reason to air this.
I don't know. My Tom radar says that he would have figured out a way to make sure
I
it
hear
got
you.
On the air.
I hear you.
I mean, the wheels are turning in my head, the father-son thing where I'm going, no, because the joke tracks every time. He's never saying it inappropriate. He's by the dump. He's by the ocean. That's why he's saying what he's saying.
Yep.
The comedy-wise, the math adds up. Everything is fair, but really silly.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
There it was.
I'm not sure on this, but I'm pretty sure that is Bob's wife, Becky, on some of the backups.
You can hear Becky there.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yep. For sure.
And she's one of the people I always think about this, the things that Tom makes people sing.
Yes.
You know, like they had to say landfill with a question mark.
That was so funny. Yes.
Landfill? Yes.
Yeah.
Because up until a certain point, it's not really a joke song. It is just kind of a sweet song.
Yes. Right.
No, and it's then, absolutely sweet.
And yeah. then Landfill is sort of the first hint, hey, yeah, yeah. you know, lighten up. It's yeah. not going to be so sweet.
Right, right.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Just a really silly, really fun, vaguely inappropriate Bob and Tom overproduced comedy
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, and that's why we do this podcast, because this is where you're going to hear that bit, and
right.
you probably won't ever hear it again.
Tom, that character Tom does.
It's, oh yeah.
Maurice.
Chevalier-anus?
It's French. It's French, yes.
That's probably one of my favorite names.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah.
How many performances has Maurice done?
I don't know. That's a great question. I bet 4 to 6.
Yeah, I was
going to
say his most famous song would probably be, I'm trying to think. Is it it's a perfume song.
Yeah. I'm losing it too right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Well,
and we also all need to be very careful, because there's a very thin line between Maurice Chevalier-anus and Dick Mango. And you don't want to research too much, because sometimes the voices are very interchangeable.
I feel like it's one of those situations where a family immigrated, like one went to the US and one went to France.
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
It's like in the old country they were brothers, and now they're both in different parts. Yeah, exactly.
Someone's
yeah.
from Quebec.
Or at some Michigan. Point, yeah. farther up the tree, the mangoes
right.
and the Chevalier-anus got together.
Oh,
and then
okay,
split
okay,
off.
Okay, yeah, yeah. yeah.
And like you say, went to different countries.
Right.
When you say someone under the tree and yeah. then the mangoes, yeah. and it's a fruit tree joke for me,
right.
that was a lot of fun for me. I had a lot of fun. You weren't going for it, but I enjoyed the ride, Jason.
Oh, my gosh. I feel so like I feel like we need to have a writer's meeting now. And find a way to bring these two together.
Mm, mm.
Oh, gosh.
Kind of a Dean and Jerry sort of thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
We absolutely should do this. And
yeah.
I think we got to work on some live day stuff. I think there's some fun stuff in the
oh
horizon.
My gosh.
Can he pull off like the Trey Parker or the Harry Shearer or the Hank Azaria?
Mm-hmm. Right, right,
just
right,
do
right.
That, switch, have a conversation yeah. and not mess
you know,
it up.
You know
oh,
what?
It's like when Tom and Dick Whiskey. That's one of my favorite things. It's like, hey, whenever he says, Dick, you haven't said hi to Tom,
yeah.
Chick always
oh,
does
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah.
Osmond, you asked a very important question. You said, can he pull it off? And I think the more important question to ask is, will it be funny? And I think him pulling it off might be a no, but will it be funny? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Ideally, right. he does not pull it off. Yes.
Yeah. He'll overwork it. He'll be using two microphones. He'll be turning his body so it's
it'll,
one half or the
it'll,
other.
It'll be so good, though.
It'll be a hilarious mess.
I want the split jacket to happen.
Oh,
it's like the split jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I'm my father's son. In my head, you go, I want the split jacket to happen. I'm going, 3 phone calls, I can figure that out. That's all I need. That's all I need. Jacket 1, jacket 2, the lady in the middle. We're done.
And he would he have a half of a nasty little thin mustache?
He would have to.
He would do have to. I mean, this is it's going to happen. It's right. it's the wheels are turning, you guys.
And we'd have 2 cameras. From the side, so whenever that person was singing, you see that side.
And now it's a live day. Now it's also a studio day. We can get involved. You know what?
There's
a house band in tomorrow. The day comes out, we might try this. I might make some noise real quick at family dinner for Manette's birthday. Okay, here is our next bit, and it's a caller on the Mr. O Show, but he's going a bit rogue.
Heidi ho, everybody. It's the Mr. Obvious Show. I'm your host, Mr. Obvious. I'm here to help. Let's go right to the phone. Hello, this is Mr. Obvious.
Hello, Mr. Obvious.
Speaking.
Hi, Mr. Obvious. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I got a little situation I thought you might be able to help me out with.
I promise to do my very best.
I'm not what you might call an avid fisherman, but this past weekend I was lucky enough to land a 16-pound rainbow trout.
My goodness, she sounds like a beauty.
Oh, she sure is, Mr. Obvious, she is. That's kind of my problem. You see, I never caught a fish like this before, and I got to admit, it was a real thrill. And stirred some kind of dark yearnings within me, you know? After feeling her thrash around like she did, and seeing the sun shimmering off her beautiful body, I found myself wanting this fish, and not just for dinner, if you know what I mean.
I sure do, caller. This isn't a fish for the dinner table. This is a trophy fish.
Yeah, trophy fish.
Have you thought about mounting it?
Oh, hell yeah, Mr. Obvious. It's all I think about. Sometimes I lie there in bed at night, tossing and turning, fighting back the urge to sneak downstairs and take that fish out of the freezer and just mount it right there.
Well, what's stopping you?
Well, I guess I fear becoming, you know, kind of an outcast, you know? I don't want to be shunned by my friends and family for committing such a weird, unnatural act.
Wow, that's just ridiculous. Caller, many prominent and respected men mount the fish that they catch.
Your kid.
Ernest Hemingway, Gary Cooper, Ted Nugent, just to name a few. Why, I've seen a fish mounted by the pastor of my church.
Whoa, you actually saw that?
Why, sure, right there in his office. Oh, it was a beautiful thing. And it was perfectly natural.
So, how did it make you feel?
Oh, well, you know, excited, jealous, many different emotions. Made me wish I had a fish of my own to mount. I say this to you now, caller, and I believe it. A well-mounted fish will provide a lifetime's worth of memories. It's a special thing between a man and his fish.
Man, I had no idea you were so open-minded and forward-thinking, Mr. Hopkins. I mean, I just wish my wife felt like you did.
You think your wife would object to you mounting this fish?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she would.
Well, why don't you just sit her down and explain the feelings you're having, the almost obsessive urge you have to mount this fish? Surely your wife would support you then.
I don't know. I kind of think it might be better if I just kept my wife out of the loop on this one, at least at first. Seeing how upset she got over the goat and all.
You mounted a goat?
Hey, look, I thought the goat was choking, all right? I was giving him the Heimlich, and then my pants fell down, and... Well, that's beside the point. You've inspired me, Miss Travius. I'm going to go ahead and mount this fish. Heck with what society thinks.
Now, caller?
Yeah.
Can I call you caller?
Oh, sure.
We may be talking about two different things here. When I say mount the fish, what I mean is...
Oh, I haven't felt this free in years, no, Mr. No.
Wait a minute. Caller, I'm not encouraging some kind of sick...
Oh, you've really opened my eyes, Mr.
I think we probably need to talk about this some more.
Mr. Obvious, you're a lifesaver.
Caller? 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 Hello? For the love of God, caller, don't do this thing. Hello? Well, I can tell by the music we're out of time. Mr. Obvious show. I need a vacation.
All right, everybody, just play it cool. We all made it through. Got a little weird at the end there, but a lot of fun nonetheless.
I can't look at the caller the same again.
I know, right? He's done unspeakable things.
Hey, you know what? We have to learn how to separate the art from the artist, okay? And just because he's a weirdo doesn't mean he's not a good caller.
That's true.
Do you guys feel like this started out as a spit take theater and we got too much here.
That's
not implying that those are the same two guys. Like, I don't.
Well, no.
Well, no, but it is. It's so cool that these two pieces, Spit Take and this, they have that connection, and it's not just the character. It's like it's like a genre. When you think about how certain Beatles songs are from the Lennon catalog or the McCartney catalog or from the Both catalog, it's like a very distinct. I don't know.
You're right. It's one of those things where it's like. You're going to groan and giggle at the same time.
Yes.
And that's what the spit take is.
Yeah.
My favorite part is when Mr. O goes, oh, a trophy fish. Think about mounting it and then just the dirtiest gross. Oh, hell yeah.
That's so
it's
funny.
A dirty, dirty hell yeah from the caller there.
I love that. So good.
I think that was the first time in history that Ernest Hemingway and Ted Nugent have ever been included on a list together.
Yeah, okay.
The show is just all about culture, you know, and the history and bringing people together. You're learning.
Mm-hmm. it's all about education. What did I say? You're like a dummy. I said, we're a big history podcast.
I learn on this show.
Yep, that's
all
true.
The time.
I learned
so much about freaking Bonanza or some random show. What is it? The Avengers?
Defenders
or whatever from the 60s.
Yeah, I learned today that bats aren't a mythical creature. I kind of thought they were like unicorns, but we're all learning things today on the show.
How serious are you when you say that?
I was joking that it was today, but I learned this in the last probably 8 years, I would say.
Okay.
I knew that bats existed. Happen. I thought they existed in mountains in Europe, and that was it.
Right. Okay, I gotcha. Yeah.
Now, Jesse, help me out here. I recalling this crazy thought?
Okay.
You at one point wanted to go noodling.
I still do.
You still do?
I still do. I have a working list.
And it's the act of what?
So noodling is basically how you catch catfish without a rod and reel. and that is that you go into their hole. I don't know what it's called. Maybe it's a cave. It's underwater. It's like a cave, but it's they get in there and they get cozy, and it's mud, and it's under the lake. It's under the lake.
A lot of times it's on rivers, I think.
Lots of rivers, mostly.
Not necessarily a river and or lake near a tree that's kind of dug out a little area.
Yeah, and it's cool back there or whatever. So basically what you do is you make a fist. Like I feel like more people have seen, I don't know why I always think of this, but I think of when they inseminate cows or horses, they put their fist in there. So you make your inseminating fist.
Okay.
But you just go in there and you noodle around until you piss off that catfish enough that he bites down, and then you yank your arm out and you've got a whole hog catfish right there.
Bare arm. Not a glove.
No glove.
Oh, come on.
No glove. You bareback that catfish. You just put it in there, noodle around, piss him off. He bites down. It hurts. If you're going to bleed, it's going to be bad.
Oh,
but
man.
I want to do it.
You are getting so weird, and
yeah,
I love it.
I want to do it. I want to go and I just I think it's on my top 10 list. I have a working list of things that I want to do, and maybe that's the one that I do this summer.
I didn't realize that. I thought you were gonna take it off and then it leaves, and then you have a Viking next to you named Uhtred that just spears it,
yes.
And then you catch the catfish that way.
Yes,
not. And now he's on my arm.
So that's the thing. Catfish are crazy strong.
Yeah.
And so there are people that, I mean, it's hours sometimes of you in there and you're pulling and he's pulling. It's a tug of war and you got to get him out. I mean, there's people who barely have their mouth above the water because they have fought this catfish so long trying to get it out. I'm not kidding. I'm doing it.
When you put it in your mouth, I go, there are people who barely have teeth that do this. I'm like, yeah. People catch fish with their fishing rods, not with their arms.
Oh, all I can think of is on my list is I don't want to know what your other 9 things are on your top 10 list.
Yeah, that's true. That's probably the most extreme.
Okay.
That's probably the most extreme.
I would love it if that's number 9 is catfishing with your arm. And then number 8 is just go to the new cupcake shop in Fountain Square.
It's all pretty off the path experiences for sure. But that's the one that makes me the most excited and also makes me the most scared. So I'm ready.
So it's an excitement, but it's also getting over a fear.
I don't have a lot of fear. Okay. I just, that's something that I want to do. I like things that make me feel strong and powerful and that I can eat later. So that's what, that's what I'm going to do.
That's great. I love eating later. I'll do almost anything if it's guaranteed I get to eat later.
There, see?
I've gone on hikes because I get to eat later. I've seen movies because I get to eat later. I love eating later.
There is nothing better than the anticipation of eating later.
Only thing better than eating later?
Eating now.
I'd say that.
And then talking about what we're going to eat later.
Oh, I do. That's my favorite thing to do.
I'm always thinking about the next meal.
The next meal.
I always am. Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to play a bit, and then we're going to talk about what we're getting for our next meal. But I think this could be our first Tom Whiskey joke on this podcast.
Yeah, today's tale is the true tale of Harry and Highest on Whiskey, frontier Armenians.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps the two dumbest men I have ever met.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it. They decided to go ice fishing.
Mm-hmm.
So there they were, out on the ice. They set up their little shanty, and they set up a little fire in the shanty to keep warm.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were just about to drill through the ice when this voice said,
"There are no fish under there."
They thought, well,
wow.
Words from above. So they put out their fire, moved their shanty to a different spot, set up a little fire in the shanty to keep warm. They were just about to drill when they heard,
"There are no fish under the ice there."
All right.
So they decided to pick up and...
A heavenly voice.
They moved their little shanty. They got it all set up, got their little fire going. They were just about to drill and they heard...
There are no fish under there.
Okay. Again, they hear it.
Harry said to Highest on Whiskey, fellow Armenian, "Whose voice is that anyway?"
This is the arena manager.
This is the arena manager.
Have you ever heard that one?
No.
Oh, my God. That's one of my earliest Bob and Tom memories right there.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's
hilarious. This is mid to late 80s.
Yeah, I've never heard that either.
Yeah, we used to do that. I mean, once you know the joke, it's over. There's no...
Right.
But me and my buddies would still rattle it off to one another.
Yeah.
It would be a punchline to something else that was stupid.
Yeah.
This is the arena manager. Mm-hmm. You know, that'd be our go-to.
And then in the same way that earlier, sometimes my dad will get pun crazy and you need the sentiment of Bob to go, all right. In this one, my dad, and I do this constantly, laughing through the punchline.
I love it.
And then in that one, Bob literally had to go, he said, this is
right.
Arena manager. He had to be very clear about it.
I love that for some reason, this show at the time back then created this fictitious place called Whiskeyville.
Right. Yeah.
That just kind of happened, mm-hmm. you know. And mm-hmm. obviously they had an album. I have comic books of them.
What?
You know, yeah.
What?
I have a comic book that they put out.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Of them at Whiskeyville. I can't remember what the name of it is. But
so I may have said Tom Whiskey earlier. Is it Doc Whiskey?
It might be Dr. Tom Whiskey.
Dr. Tom Whiskey, but there's a bit somewhere where Bob is doing.
Yeah.
Okay. It goes back and forth? Okay.
I feel like there's even a different name they might use.
For him?
Mm-hmm.
The lines get a little blurred sometime. And by the way, if anybody has any old Bob and Tom merch, post it and tag me or Jess or anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see Megan Gailey gave her husband, CJ, who's like a big streetwear guy, she gave him, it was her dad, Megan Gailey's a comedian from Indianapolis, and her dad had an old Bob and Tom band with Jeff put on it. And then she gifted it to her husband,
cool.
And she posted it on Instagram, and it looks so cool.
That's very cool.
I love all the old Bob and Tom merch and gear.
Yeah. I had a shirt, and I would have to look. I think it's somewhere in the attic, but there is a shirt where it's, I can't remember, it's a bunch of basketball players, right? And they're tall. It's a cartoon. Do you guys remember this?
Yeah.
And then Bob and Tom are a little bit shorter, so they come just like to their thighs, and it says the Bob and Tom show. They're nuts over us.
Yeah.
And I wore it to school, and my dad was like, what are you doing?
Speaking of Marty, I have a feeling he was probably behind that.
Oh, yeah,
that
that's
one.
Probably true.
And
yeah.
then you're a kid, you don't get the joke. Why is this inappropriate?
Yeah, I was like, I love listening to them. What are you talking about?
They're nuts. Going into our last bit, a cherry on top of this fishy podcast.
We have a guy that is, I mentioned earlier, internationally famous for a little something. It's the only talk show devoted to the artistry of the bass guitar. It's a little thing we like to call
Bass Talk.
Wow. It's the Bass Talk Show with Mark Christopher Roman on the bass.
Yes.
Marcus, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Well, this bass player, he was having trouble finding a gig.
Mm-hmm. What a surprise.
Yeah. So he decides to take a part-time job in a funeral home.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
So he's working with a funeral director, and they're late one night, and a local guy named Stanley Smith had just died.
Mm.
And he's there on the table in front of him, and they're just amazed at this guy's certain body part.
Oh.
It's incredible. It's astounding, actually. Mm-hmm. It's bigger than any porno stars you've ever seen.
Wow.
So between the two of them, they decide this has to be saved for posterity.
Mm-hmm.
So they remove the body part.
Mm.
And they, well, who would know, right?
Right.
So they remove it and they stick it in this great big glass jar with formaldehyde.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the bass player decides he's going to take it home and show his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes it home and he sets it on the table. He says, honey, come in here. You got to see this thing that I just brought back from the funeral home.
Yeah.
So she comes in and she takes one look at the jar and she goes, oh, my gosh, Stanley Smith is dead?
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. You can see why people flock to the airwaves to hear the fabulous show Bass Talk.
Bass Talk with MCR Mark Christopher Roorman, my old bass teacher.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's an incredible bassist. I know that's like a really silly bit, but that guy can play a bass. He always wears boots like the Beatles wore.
Yep.
Wears a lot of black. He's a cool guy. His kid writes for the show, Nikki.
His hair is amazing.
He's got that like distinct look where it goes out and
just and he is, for me, I don't know why, but he always felt like a Simpsons character come to life.
I see that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like he just did. And I don't know if we could probably find one, but he also has one of the most pleasant voices to listen to.
Yeah. Oh,
absolutely. Sure. He's great voice. Great voice. I wish he still came in and did bass talk. Can we keep should, a list of things we want to do? We want to do...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We want a live day. Yes. We want bass talk. We want to catch a catfish.
Yes.
We want to shove our arm underwater and catch a catfish.
Yes.
There's a lot of things we all want to do. Is there anything else that we all want to do to put on that list? Anybody have any ideas?
I would. You know what? We should really go fishing. Like, I think it would be a fun thing. Like, it's a very chill activity. I think it would be fun to do.
I am 100% in. Yeah. Usually I go fishing with my cousins in the summer. I did not get to do it last summer. I'm going to go fish. Whenever we can go fishing, I will go.
Yeah, there's lots of places we could go and just like stand on the side of the...
I mean, there's a little lake right here.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
I don't know if the people that live there would let us fish over there.
Yeah, well, ask for forgiveness.
Hey, you know what? After a big rain, we could just fish here in the parking lot. Yeah. So.
A lot of crawdads.
That's true.
Just wander around the parking lot. How did I get here? Help me.
Small little puddle in the front of my house that we could probably use a casting net on.
Okay, cool. Yeah, let's do that.
We get messages from people that say they just started listening to Bob and Tom like in 2013, 2014. They say, I'm a new listener. They think they're new and they've still been around for like, you know, 5+ years.
Right.
So asking, just for those that might be listening and maybe for me, when did the whole fish shtick start?
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. We didn't even know.
Whenever there's a random Mr. John Salmon, you know, sure. and
Mike Rochester. Trout.
Fish.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was told once, and I don't know how accurate this is because of my source, but that back in the day when they would like lie to a friend or say something, that they hooked them, like they got you hooked. And so whenever they realized they had hooked somebody, they'd say, fish. And that person brought that, Chick McGee, to the show. And then he would just say every time but from what I understand, all four of them have a different story about where this came from. Yeah. Yeah. So we need to figure it out. But that's his version. But I would be interested.
Like,
maybe we could ask the others and see what they say and share.
Well, I like how Chix is like kind of maniacal.
Yeah.
It'd be so funny if Christie was like, I just thought we said that for fish. Because she has no ulterior motive.
Well, I remember like thinking for the longest time that they were referring to the band Fish. Like, sure. I didn't know, like, what I was like, well, maybe they know the band. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, I don't think that's it. Yeah. So I have no idea. But that's the one story I'd know. So, but I don't know how accurate it is.
I had nothing.
Yeah.
I had no clue.
Yeah.
I assumed it kind of came from Chick because that seemed like a Chick kind of thing.
Yeah.
How funny would it be if just one day my dad came in and goes, yeah, I'm taking off a couple weeks this summer. I'm going to go see Fish in tour.
Yeah.
I'm touring with the band Fish for a while. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't think he would ever do that.
I hate to end the show like this, but I'm really disappointed in you guys.
Oh, what are we doing wrong?
What
are
we doing?
I put in that last bit there called bass talk.
Oh, bass and bass? Nobody, that was it?
Nobody caught it.
That was the fishy connection?
Yes,
Jason,
there was no
dumb,
fishy connection.
So I don't know why.
There was no fishy connection.
Exactly.
I just accepted it because you're the producer.
I thought it was like a genitals, and since the genitals was cut off, I thought that it was
the
like...
The formaldehyde, it was in water, I didn't know.
I thought it was like a sardine connection or something.
Oh,
no. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Is this what we're doing now?
Bass,
trying to trick us?
Bass.
That's actually really clever.
Mark Christopher Rohrman. Yeah, I was going
through
it in my head. There was nothing.
And that's why the listener's probably going like, why did they play that last one?
Yeah, I just thought that you were kind of being a little menace.
No, I'm just being an idiot is what I was trying to be. I told you to call me out, Willie. Call me out.
I thought that we'd already, you know what? We're moving on. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you like it, subscribe, review the whole thing. And then if you want to see me and Greg Hahn in Cedar Rapids, we're there May 7th. And then Dubuque, we're there May 8th. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you for listening to the Bits and Pieces podcast.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.